Okay, so if we have, if we move that story to 10:30, it should. Oh, hello. Hello, everyone. We're live, and this is the Generic Life Show. Hello. How long have you been sitting there? I've been sitting here doing this show for a while now. In fact, I've been doing this show for a while. And this show requires quite a lot of work. See, I'm not even convincing myself of that one. But it does require a lot of news stories and a lot of investment in these news stories. Sometimes we have stories on here that kind of get left on the cutting room floor, some news stories that, we don't really get much involvement with, or some news stories that get a little bit of a run, and we kind of say we'll get back to them, but we don't actually get back to them until now. Don't get too excited. Yes, we are doing something a little bit differently tonight. We're taking, because it has been a bit of a slow news week, we are kind of taking a bit of a dive back in to the vault. And for that, we need, well, we kind of need our intro music, right? It'd be only fitting if we play the intro music, right? And that is file number three. File number three. Here we go, right here. That's not the intro. I don't know what I'm being told. I've been told that this is a shit show. But I thought this was the intro song. Yeah, okay. That feels right. But hang on, I thought that was the. Why am I being told there's two different intro songs? Conflicting messaging. What about this one? No, that's the same one. That's the wrong one. What about this one seems wrong. Okay, this has got to be it.
Alrighty, I think we're good to go. In 3, 2, 1.
Yes, this is it. Okay, I got it.
Finally found the most generic live show. This is the Generic Live Show with Dale.
Hey, CJ Boat here from Small Screen Spoiler Show and the
around Australia and the world. I do apologize for the audio quality. We've had some technical difficulties before the show. That's because I'm a little soft and I'm a little T-spout short and spout.
To call me on my cell phone. Late night when you need my love. Call me on my cell phone. Late night when you need my love. I know when the hotline rings. That can only mean one thing. I'm gonna hear the hotline ring. That can only mean one thing. And it's just I left the city, you. The test has been complete. Thank you.
it's outright. It's ridiculous.
Merry Christmas from all of us here at the Generic Live Show. This is the Generic Live Show with Dale Campbell.
Hello, everyone. Thanks for joining us here on a Wednesday here on the Generic Live Show. No, we haven't gone insane, but we are live, so there is that. Thanks for joining us here on a Wednesday here on GLS. My name is Dale Campbell. This is live, by the way. This is not tagged. I just want to put that out there just in case anyone thought it was. Yes, we are here. We're not here with anything new, though. We are back in our well-deserved time slot, 10 till midnight on Wednesday night, 7 till 9 a.m. Australian Eastern Standard Time. It's good to be back. Thanks, everyone, for joining us. We haven't done this before. We're going to take a little bit of a look back. By the way, that was some of my favorite clips from last year. I don't think the one that I wanted to play kind of played, which is unfortunate because I really, really wanted that one to play. Thanks, everyone, for joining us. Yes, we will be going through some of our favorite moments over the last couple of years here on the show. We've done best of shows here on GLS, but we haven't really had time to kind of reflect back on shows that kind of matter most to us here at the show. Because next week, technically, next week will be our second anniversary doing this show. I thought I would take this week, because we've already got a show planned out for next week. And next week's kind of going to be next 2 weeks are going to be a little bit crazy because they're shows that we've already planned. How about this is an early birthday present? We're re-gifting ourselves, so to speak. So we're doing a Live from the Vault episode of this show. Yeah, it's a bit crazy. None of this is scripted. Actually, a little bit is scripted. But script. Why do we need a script? By the way, a little bit of behind the scenes is what you're going to kind of get on this show. And you're going to get more of me talking. You're going to get clips. It's going to be a two-hour mess. A Dale mess. How about a Dale mess? And if anyone is still listening after this, you're welcome to ask any questions of just me personally. It's going to be 2 hours of talking. I'm going to be having a lot of water during the show. Uninterrupted, ad-free, live from the vault. It's 10:08 at the moment. 7:08 if you are in the US on Wednesday, the 2nd of March. It is a kind of re-gift early. It's an early second year birthday present to us. Kind of an extension of where we have been on the show and kind of our best moments. We kind of have best moments from us in terms of and on the best of shows of the year, but we kind of don't have enough time to reflect back. This show, by the way, it is my passion project. I love this show. GLS is my baby, so I do hold it near and dear to my heart at all costs. It is a weird egg. It has been through three transformations in the last 2 years, gone through two different hiatuses, however you want to say that. But we have been consistent in this new format, this new two-hour block allotted weekly format. When the show first launched, it actually had a week of daily shows. So, yeah, we are starting the show with trials and tribulations of the show. I am aware of that. But it has gone through quite a lot, this show. So we're gonna take you down memory lane to the very first pilot episode of GLS. Warning, It's rough. But we're not going to play the whole thing, of course. We're just going to play a little snippet. Here is me on the first ever GLS way back in 2011. I hope you enjoy. I'm just pulling it up. I hope you enjoy. This is me on the pilot episode of the Generic Live Show.
Information it held and prevent disclosure of personal information other than permitted purpose. Following the breach, Telstra agreed to take several actions, including replacing the software platform which the incident occurred and renewing all contacts with third parties relating to handling personal information. We have a very, very good article in the show notes that I will put into the discussion point kind of section of the show notes for everyone to read.
That was me talking about the privacy breaches that Telstra did. Now, by the way, the show has evolved, and the show has evolved naturally and organically from this kind of structured, scripted. It is still scripted. The show is really heavily scripted, believe it or not. The funny bits are not scripted, but I do put in brackets, stage directions for me, and I do have a run sheet of all of the articles and all of the talking points that I'll be going through on the shows. So that still kind of exists throughout the show here. I'm not going to deny that. You have to. If you have to do a newscast, you have to know what you're talking about. And I was talking to someone about this yesterday. For later on, I'll talk about more of a story that I've actually become famous for here locally. I had to do quite a bit of research, and I've put that research into the show notes, and this show has kind of organically formed around this kind of natural me talking and opinions and research and dragging all that in, which is what I like about a newscast. I don't really like traditional newscasts, particularly here locally. I've wanted to do something locally for this market. And I believe the privatization of universities, which is next on the list, is coming up. So this is back in February of 2012, where Telstra breached privacy of 15,775 when information was made public. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to turn myself off. That's probably going to help the quality of the audio quite significantly. But what was I going to say? Yes, and Telstra had to pay fines of $10,200. So this is when Telstra particularly when the metadata argument was happening in Australia, where the metadata of what we're tracking in terms of metadata, it was certainly a new concept at the time as well. So this was kind of like, well, you're not really, don't release it to the public, but what are we going to do with this metadata that we're capturing from people's phones? That was a new concept here in this country when we were covering it back in March 2012. The show, like I said, the show developed from this less kind of headlines, main discussion point, to this kind of big segment, small segment, two-hour show with ads. Yes, we do have ads on the show. Not on this show. This is an ad-free show. Where it's kind of more flowy in terms of discussion, because one big feedback I got in the old incarnations of the shows was, we love it when you just talk, Dale, when you're not so scripted and you just your words flow. That certainly did come out in terms of when I was talking about privatization of the universities in particular, because it had so much passion behind it as well, in terms of, because it applies to me directly, and it seems to kind of, it affects me directly, and I have that investment in it, and you know, it did a lot of research on it, so it kind of, you know, I have that direct, you know, correlation with it. Here is some of that audio, not all of it though, but I do want to mention something here. I want to remind people, for those just joining in, you are listening to Live from the Vault, not a best of episode. It's a kind of a reflection episode because of our second birthday coming up next week. We're not doing that. We'll probably mention it next week, but I want to do a Live from the Vault episode only because this week was a slow news week. So only because of the time change. I did a show last Friday, and I'm doing now a show on Wednesday. There's not really that much news that happened between now and then. So you are listening to Live from the Vault, a kind of a look at some of the biggest stories that impacted. Still to come, we are going to be looking at the automotive industry, which is one of the earlier stories in the show that broke. And we're going to be talking about American politics, because that has been a major feature on the show. But now to the privatization of the universities. Now, this is a story, and I know I'm going to start it partway through here, but this is a story that I was mainly invested in because it affected me here locally at my school, which I go to, I frequent. People have seen me at open days and have said, "Dale, loved your piece on your radio show about what you have said about the privatization of the universities. I've agreed, I've disagreed with you, but I like the opinion and I like the analogy that you provide." Here's some of that audio, and I'll break down the story. I'll give you updates to what has happened here locally. Have a listen. It's 10:16. You're listening to Live from the Vault, kind of a box of chocolates episode of the Generic Live Show. Here's that audio.
This show on this broadcasting network that I have. So I now present to you 36 seconds of Dale Campbell singing Drake's, well, not really sing.
Well, that's not what I thought it was at all. Plus, also, I have a question. Why is that not capturing anything? Technical difficulties. All right, so, well, actually, maybe not. I may have technical difficulties. Anyway, continue on. So here is, I'm going to try and skip it a little bit. I should have prepared more on the show. Hey, yeah, funny that, hey. Here is that audio. It should be coming through right now.
Offered here on the show. Now, back to Syria. You know what? That's why I gave you that little clip here. I want to ease you in, Taylor Campbell, if you want to like my page. Right. But it's interesting. This article talks about, and I was going to bring up something else as well, in regards to this the local university here in the city where I live, where I'm doing this current broadcasting from, is decided to sell out all of its food and dining options as well to third-party businesses, which would mean the university is no longer providing these services to its students. Now, this article is an interesting one. So I'll read the article and then I'll get into kind of sort of a debate here. And if you want to contribute at all to the debate, we have all of our ways that you can interact with the show. I have the Facebook page open. I even have my emails open. I have the Chef Wanna Media chat room. There's always, remember, comments on the podcast later. There's Google Plus. So
get to the point, Campbell.
University. As students assume more and more the costs of their higher education, they tend to take jobs as possible. The focus on applied knowledge has led to a decline in critical thinking as well. This article points out it has increased on all disciplines, but the humanities have suffered the most because of their perceived inability. The town that I'm in, and they kind of focus more on marine studies and research subjects as well. There's more researching subjects where the lecturers actually have research and get students to do research because it's more lucrative to them. Justice and equity, they can't serve the role in justice and equity. Universities perform a civic role in preparing graduates to go out into the community, but high fees have the potential to screw leadership positions in the professions in the public service favor of sons and daughters of the wealthy. Fee deregulation inadvertently shifts the balance away from the egalitarian values of equality, access of upwards mobility, and less well-off. Middle-class students are more likely to see high costs for degrees and an investment, whereas the less off tend to determine the prospect of subdual debt. So, you know, kind of it skews the social scales in favor of the wealthy, which is fair. There's a lot of middle class people trying to get an education and get a leg up, per se. And for audio listeners, that's air quotes, get a leg up in kind of a better education system for them and for all involved.
And I kind of go on that point. Hang on, let me try something here. I was just testing something here locally, and I don't be able to do that. Anyway, it'll be all right. The YouTube is capturing all the audio. I just wanted to make sure it's not super crunchy for the YouTube audience, because that's fun. I say this when people, and I will bring up that article again, because it is a good article. It basically goes on and it basically has the perspective that universities more and more and more are seeing students as customers, less so than assets. It is showing that universities do see their their students as customers. I tend to agree with that statement, more so now that I've actually noticed this privatization of the university. So I mentioned later on in that clip, and that's a really good clip because that's most of my speech when I give speeches about this in other places, is that students is customers mentality, and I kind of break it down there a little bit. But I later go on and say about the cafes closing here locally. I kind of went on a tirade about that. And I did tell a story about how these third party offerings kind of don't really care about student welfare. That's the university's job while they're seeing them more and more as customers, their kind of personal investment is trying to make money. There is more and more of this gap between this inequality gap, this wage gap, if you will, and for audio listeners, that's air quotes, between the students and the wealthy. Huge gap. Vice Chancellor of this university here is earning more than the President of the United States. And the average person, and don't quote me on this, is earning $20 an hour flipping burgers at the local McDonald's, for example. And when you kind of take away heavily subsidized things from the students in terms of food and that sort of thing. You kind of have to, extend yourself and go, well, all right, what is really happening here? This businesses don't have me as a student in mind. They have me as a customer in mind because they're providing me a food option. They're giving me a plenty of nutrition, giving me plenty of delish, but they're not value me. They're not having my student welfare in mind. They're not bettering me as a student. Now, I have had a person trying to debate me on that point particularly. They're not bettering me as a student. Well, their sole purpose, instead of providing food to the students, that's now held as a convenience for them because they're establishing a business on the university campus. From a business perspective, their point is that they see that as a convenience. They see that as there's a lot of people here on a particular campus in a particular congregated spot. We're going to continue operating A, our business, and B, a food outlet, because they're not going to turn that into a clothing store, for example. And, you know, that's just going to be pointless. You know, it's not that. My point also is that's not student welfare. That's competition. And the person who bought out that space that the university originally held, they had plenty of offers. So the university took the best offer that would most benefit them, the university, that is. Not that the university had much say in that sort of thing, because, you know, it's just the university kind of had a deal. They had to provide a food outlet. They weren't going to turn that into a clothing store. But again, on that decision being made between this particular outlet of food and the university, you kind of have to think, well, they're viewing us as customers at this point. Plus, also as a university as a whole, aren't we all customers of college or university? Are we consuming knowledge? But anyway, I just wanted to get that off my chest because I'm not dragging anyone out in the mud here. I have had that argument made to me when I have given the speech about privatization of universities because what about the welfare aspect? Well, you think about it. The exchange, we are all consuming knowledge. We are all consumers of the university. It's just the university using us as a consumer tool for businesses outside to come in. And I cannot say what I'm about to say because it's kind of conflict of interest. But I will say this, it's not done. This story is not done. There's a lot more sections of the university pie that they can kind of cut off and kind of segment as well. I did just bring up the privatization of the universities because that is the food outlets, rather, because that is what this was related to. But that's about it. I do want to thank everyone for joining us. Thank you, everyone, for the kind words when you do see me and do thank me for my activism, I guess, in this subject matter, because it does touch a lot of people in this way to know that they've got someone to support them in this topic, and they know they can come to someone to talk about this topic because it can be a difficult time to go, oh, but what about, oh, and by the way, I do want to get this in because it is important. One of the cafes didn't hire local people who were on the campus. One person did let them reapply. They reapplied. They didn't automatically get their old jobs back. They had to reapply through the recruitment process of a particular cafe to get employed. 6 of the 24 staff did get their jobs back in the particular cafe that recently opened up this semester on campus. So I do want to mention that. do want to mention that, just in case people are wondering, 6 out of 24 is better than 0 out of 24, but it's still, there's still, four. What would that be, 12 people? No, 24, 6, 22 people out of a job. Which could have been none out of a job. Yeah, but anyway, that's a different story. But anyway, so I do want to thank everyone for joining us here on Live from the Vault. It is a Live from the Vault episode of the Generic Live Show. Thanks for joining us. It's good to be here. It's good to be recapping and getting everything off my chest. It's so good. Thanks for joining us. It's 10:30. We've got some more stuff coming up, including Netflix coming to Australia, American politics. But right now, just a little something, something from me.
Joining us live to the companies themselves. If they went directly to the companies themselves, they could make a bigger margin off this, and not that screwing over people is one of my prerogatives. I'm just saying, if these Chinese companies wanted to make a larger profit from Chinese people who didn't know better, they could probably do that as well. And if they bought directly from the companies, then it's kind of, they have the supply they need, and Australian families are not struggling so much. But this is the biggest story of the week. And it's going to be an interesting one. We are following this story, and we will have some as it develops, of course, because we do have stories of real Australian families struggling with this issue day to day, and it is a real struggle. And unfortunately, now that we're all out of baby formula, we kind of can't really do much about it, but it is a real struggle. But I'm not that is consider your options, but this is just these Chinese officers. And by the way, these are people going to the supermarket and buying them. They're not going directly to the companies themselves. If they went directly to the companies themselves, they could make a bigger margin off this, and not the best in China, then that's great. But that's their prerogative, and they can do their entry how they want to.
Thanks for joining us here on a Wednesday with Dale Campbell. This is GLS. This is a GLS Live from the Vault episode. We do have best of shows at the end of the year, but I feel like it's more appropriate to have a From the Vault episode today, because we are celebrating our second birthday coming up next week. And I did want to kind of celebrate by giving you kind of some of the best hot topic debates, and I just wanted to, bring them out and kind of put them on display. That bit you heard right there was, while I was taking some water, plus, I can't be talking for 2 hours straight. That bit you heard right there was me talking about baby formulas, Chinese companies going into local supermarkets and bulk buying baby formula and on selling it to China for up to 60% more. Well, no, it's more than 60% more profit margin. Details are fuzzy because I don't have that script in front of me. But I will say this: the baby formula that caused shortages in baby formula. And basically, that was me talking about how if the Chinese wanted to import the products, it would be a lot cheaper for them to do, and that would be a better entry strategy for them to achieve. So that is just my perspective on it as well. Thanks for joining us. This is a Live from the Vault episode. Like I said, this is a box of chocolates episode. We're pulling out stuff that we like, but that we don't like, and that sort of thing as well. So thank you for joining us. Now, GLS... We cover a large variety of topics here on the show. And we do want to say this. Earlier on, we kind of were known for our tech background. We started differentiating from that because, quite frankly, in the revolutionary phase of the show, we're realizing that that was really narrow and we had a lot of people covering that in covering tech in that zone. So I do want to say that, but what was I going to say? I was saying something. I was reading. Sorry. We kind of differentiated in the revolution phase because it was so narrow. So here we were talking about, in the discussion point, we were talking about manufacturing in Australia and how it's kind of dead, I guess. That's kind of bad to say, but it is kind of true. How the big car companies, how they're going to be coping from this moment forward. And
I will say this. It's
interesting doing a wide range of topics because you've got to do more research over the week. It does take a lot of effort to put this show to two-hour show together.
But have a listen to my thoughts on the automotive industry in Australia. I've got a bit of I want to stretch my feelings on this add a little bit more. So we'll do that after we play a little bit of the snippet from the episode. So take that right now.
Point. Come 2017. So let's fast forward 2 years. You've got both Ford and both Holden shut down. Toyota isn't going to last a year with two major car companies who were manufacturing in Australia. Two companies that are manufacturing in Australia are now importing cars at a lower cost under free trade agreements with no tariff, well, with limited tariffs, let's say, for instance. Let's say that the tariffs at that point have declined. And let's assume for a second that all of the dollar and all of that has remained roughly the same. Let's assume that just for this. It's gone up, it's gone down, but come, let's say, middle of 2016, it's come down to Holden closing. Generic live show, 126. No, I'm just kidding. Holden's closed down. Ford's been closed down for a whole year. Holden closes down. You can't tell me that Toyota, a company manufacturing automobiles, is going to remain open for another 365 days. Let's assume that there's a whole year between Ford and Holden shutting down, because Ford has already confirmed that they're shutting down next year. That's confirmed. Holden's still up in the air that whether they're going to close these down by 2017 or they're going to be, they're definitely revealed at the GM Motor Show that they're going to quote unquote wind down their operations. Yeah, quote unquote. But who knows whether either what Ford and Holden does and says, all right, let's try and salvage ourselves. It can either go one or two ways. Toyota stays open for another year and winds down their operations, or they close. Because if we're not even a major, Toyota manufacturing plant. If my memory serves me correctly, I should have done my research. But
So that's my perspective on the show. GLS number 16, by the way, made the call. Want to note that call, and I want to fact check this call. Holden is to be closed down by mid 2016, and Toyota will be closed by mid 2017. Prior to mid 2017, I want to say this for the record. I still believe in that. I'm not going to deny that. But I will say this. I will say that I think Holden, in 27,
Excuse me, I had a bit of apple cider soft drink. It's kind of making me...
making me burp.
What else was I going to say? So Holden, I think the car manufacturing industry was more, I believe, I want to take a step back, and I want to say that the automotive industry in Australia was kind of a,
let's try and reduce importing costs. From my perspective, I think because it's kind of like, well, it costs a lot of money to send things over there. We might as well make them there. Would that be any cheaper? Oh no, everyone's losing money. Oh no, oh no,
kind of thing.
So it's kind of like one of these big,
kind of these big, like, in the air, like, oh no, let's see how it's like, you know, let's see, they're losing money and they can't make money. I want to talk about, though, with the automotive industry as well, I want to talk about how it affects the local economy. The two things that our economy is basically still driven on, even though, a major car company has shut down and ceased operations here, it's kind of still got this and this is all not scripted, by the way, so apologies for the and it's a lot of talking for me. I don't normally do this, a lot of talking. I thought. Gone. I want to say that the local economy is still on two things. It's still on manufacturing, and it's still on mining. And we kind of put all of our eggs in those two baskets. And it's unfortunate that we've had to put both of our eggs in that basket, because I believe Australia is a lot more than those two things. I think Australia can be a lot more. Australia can provide a lot more. We can provide knowledge. We can provide a whole heap of things, a whole range of things. But due to how our economy was structured in the first place, and I might have mentioned this on the show before, but it's kind of hard to differentiate. Excuse me. It's kind of hard to differentiate between who, like, what do we go into now, since our economy has been founded on manufacturing and mining? Where do we go from here? Yes, our economy can kind of be self-funding if we go into services, but services aren't an international business. I hate to break it to you. Services is not an industrial, you know, it's not an industry that you can kind of sell on overseas. Trust me, it's really not. But I want to say that Australia has given it a good go. But come 2017, we're not going to have any of that. We're not going to have any sort of weird back and forward, like, oh, will these close? The change in question will be, how will Australia make their money? Taxes? Is that it? Is that all we're making our money on? Because if that's all we're making our money on, we're one sad sack of potatoes. We're really one sad sack of potatoes, if that's the way we're making our money. But I thought I'd bring that up again, because that's when this show kind of started to differentiate itself from the tech angle, is to talk about manufacturing. But I think in terms of, again, where's this economy go from here? Kind of interesting to think about. As we continue here on the Generic Live Show, I'm just ticking off all of the things that we did. We, on this show, we do cover a lot of heavy news. So I do want to, we will get a little bit heavy in the next hour here, in terms of all of the kind of not, yeah, kind of terror. I had to come out and say it. All of the attacks that have happened and all of the coverage on it, and kind of frame up where my thoughts of that entirely as a collective and as individual. So we will get into that in the next hour. American politics is I got some topics that I know have been carried over and I haven't really talked about much. Netflix coming up next, though. Netflix coming to Australia. What has that brought to Australian streaming services? I don't know, but we're about to find out another random moment from Dale. Here we go. Thanks for joining us, GLS 1045. It's the Vault Show.
And all the people at regular nine holes are going, what are you talking about? Or 18 holes are going, it's where it's at. Sometimes, about this, you know, downgraded women's rights. You're totally fine. Women are fine. It's like that. And it's the women going, well, you know, our rights will remain the same, whether, no matter what you say. This person is a twat. Why would you go to an event where the whole purpose of you going to the event is to promote regular television and saying that the NBN is taking over the world? I don't understand people sometimes. I don't get it. It's like going, that's like going to a golf course and say, I'll stop these now. It's like going to a golf course and saying that, it, guys, mini golf, it's where it's at. I mean, this mini golf thing, it's going to take over the nation. But they're not designing all mini golf courses like they should. But I'm dropping my mic. I nearly dropped my microphone there. You better watch out.
Thanks for joining us here on a Wednesday with Dale Campbell. I nearly dropped my microphone again. We nearly had a repeat. Except this microphone is a twat. Thank you for joining us, though, here on a Wednesday here on the Generic Live Show. My name's Dale Campbell. We are doing something a little bit special. We have had a slow news week. We're not going to do this. First time we've done this, we do have, again, I want to clarify, this is not a best of show. I could not give you a context for that clip. I could give you zero context for that clip. I think what it was, I might have to look it up, but I think, and people like this about this show. People think, people like the off-the-cuffness of this show. It's kind of, this is, by the way, the Live from the Vault show. It's kind of a behind-the-scenes best kind of reflection show. I will say this, people do like the off-the-cuff thing, and the analogies I do come off, and I do agree, mini-golf is where it's at. I want to look up the article, actually, now that I'm interested, I wanted to see what that the context of that quote was. More services, that's right. The NBN services, the NBN is to provide more services, but he said pay TV is amazing. That's what it was. NBN boss says that pay TV is amazing. You know, I will take oxymoron for 500, thank you. I will take that. But I will say this. That was my thing. Women, it's like, stand up for women. We were like, fine, thanks. And then mini golf courses. I go on some weird tangents on this show, but that's what makes this show unique, is that edgier feel to the show as well. Thank you, everyone, for joining us, by the way. I want to talk about Netflix. That brings me to that, by the way, is Netflix talk.
We all heard about Netflix and chill, so don't worry, we're not going there. But what we are going to is Australia last year shifted radically in terms of its consuming goods. In terms of Netflix coming to this fine country. As well as some other things that I don't really approve of. In saying that, I don't really approve of much, first of all. Second of all, I will say this. It's Netflix coming to Australia has done a lot in terms of competition. It has upped the competition to higher standards as well. So I will say that. Now that I've lost my spot in terms of... here we go. So Netflix came to Australia on March 24th, 2015. So last March, we're coming up nearly on the one-year anniversary of Netflix. Excuse me. Wow. I'm really tired. The service will offer the same tiers as the US service. Basic SD streaming for one is $8.99. Two standard two screens and HD is $11.99. Premium four screen and 4K high definition is available for $14.99. Again, they didn't launch much, but it did say its original programming would launch as well. So there you go. Australian Netflix is kind of not that great. I want to say it is good, mind you. Their catalog has improved. They are going down the same sort of path as the US Netflix. I will say that. I think that the Australian Netflix suffered from lack of content from the get-go. And if you want to kind of go look at this new revolutionary age of online streaming, you kind of have to go out from the, go straight from the offset and go, here we go, we're going to give you a buffet. Kind of gave us an a la carte menu at a buffet restaurant. Doesn't really work that way. And I think Netflix has struggled, but it was easily obtained to get that market share that they needed to infiltrate the market here locally. I think it was a good, wise business decision to do so. I think that Netflix did that deliberately. They kind of handed out an a la carte menu at a buffet, simply because they knew they were going to get that market share because of name. And VPNs. Which, by the way, I want to get back to that, because I think I opened up that can of worms on that episode but never closed it. Loose ends, everyone. Yay! We're tying up loose ends on our birthday. But I will say this. The thing is, they have cracked down on that a lot. Netflix particularly. Crammed down on that a lot. I do apologize for yawning. It has been a long day. So you know what? It's been a long day. You know what I've decided to do? A two-hour radio show, because that's exciting, with no ad breaks. But I will say this. I think in terms of, you know, VPNs, Netflix knows it wants to keep everyone in a particular spot at one time. Only because, A, it's easier to monitor, and it's not the only reason. So I don't know why my last sentence was, is my last sentence kind of redundant? And B, I think, yeah, you want the people in the same place so it's easier to track them. And B, there are certain things in certain countries that you don't want viewed by other countries. For example, what if Netflix in the Canadian version had an anti-American documentary, for example?
What if an American gets on it with a VPN, sees that, and gets all offended or something? What if that's the case? Then I will say this: that's your discretion at that point. But B, you know, they can go to Netflix. Why are you having this hate speech on your streaming service in the first place? So, that's what I have to say to those people who get butthurt over content. Why get butthurt over something you have nothing in control over? I tell myself that all the time. Trust me, I really do. I tell myself that more often than I would hate to imagine. This is the Live from the Vault show. I did say we're going to be doing it ad-free, but we'll do... You know what we're going to do? We're entering into the second hour here of the show. Next hour will be shorter, so I might finish up a little bit early. And play a lot more clips second hour, because I feel like I've done a little bit too much talking for my liking. And second hour is typically shorter. Well, that's because of ad breaks, but typically shorter anyway. Next hour, we will talk about American politics. We had a guest on the show once. We'll talk about that. And terror. Want to talk about all the various terror attacks. Unfortunately, maybe we'll do that. Okay, we'll swap terror and... American politics. I think terror is an interesting one to open up from the vault. There's a bunch of worms jumping out of me from the vault right now. We are talking about the main ones that we talked about on this show. We'll try and go back and trace down original clips of me talking about them on the show. It's interesting, and I want to give my perspective on what I feel now of the events in those particular attacks and what I think it means for the future. And I want to link back to even theory that we heard on this show. Well, not theory. Wow. I've been in class all day. Can you tell? Actually, no, that's not necessarily true. And I don't want to say that. I don't want to give anything away here on the Vault show, but I did go and see Deadpool finally. I did mention it. Pre-show, was that pre-Mike? To the winner's circle here at the studio, which, by the way, no one's here today. So I've got no one feeding anything into my ears. I've got literally got no direction, which is why the intro was so sloppy. Damn, people wanting to work at 10 o'clock in the morning and not 10 o'clock at night. Thanks for joining us, though. It is Wednesday. We are back in our original time slot. Good to be here. 10 till midnight on Wednesdays. We'll be back to a normal show next week. Promise. This is just a little bit of a we're having a birthday, and I want to unlock a couple of things. Here is, by the way, thanks for joining us. It is 10:57, live from the vault. That's what we're calling this, live from the vault. It's good to be here. Thanks for joining us. want to talk about. I want to talk about the Sydney siege first, because that's the one we covered here on the show. It is GLS 12, as when we first talked about it here on the show. I think the siege is important, and it's a different type of event than what we were used to in the past. So we'll talk about that when we come back here on the Generic Live Show. Thanks for joining us here on the Generic Live Show. It's 10:58, and we'll be back with more live from the vault right after this.
General Motors has finally revealed the details behind the decision to close Holden's manufacturing operations by 2017. The head of international operations for General Motors, Stefan Jacoby, says it is impossible to manufacture cars in Australia, regardless of government assistance. He also said that comments by the government did not force Holden's hand. In fact, it's been revealed that the phone conference with the GM board that sealed Holden's fate was happening just as Treasurer Joe Hockey was demanding Holden to come clean. All eyes are now on Toyota, which says a decision on whether it will continue beyond 2017 will come sometime this year. The signs are not good, however, with Stefan Jacoby declaring that it is impossible to manufacture cars in Australia given our high costs and the government's plan to sign more free trade agreements, which gives imports the upper hand. Toyota would not comment on the GM statement, but make no mistake, the numbers are just as grim for Toyota as they were for Holden. At this stage, the most likely scenario is Ford shutting down by 2016, Holden by 2017, and Toyota by 2018. Of course, the brands and the dealerships will keep selling cars. They'll just be imported, not made locally anymore, ending almost 100 years of vehicle production. This is Joshua Dowling from the Detroit Motor Show.
And expose its users, but they may end up making them richer. Thomas Dagla explains.
Ashley Madison users may have hoped for an affair, but they expected secrecy. Now growing increasingly nervous, some are calling this lawyer. He's launching a class action suit against the website's Canadian parent company, alleging breach of privacy.
The phone is ringing off the hook. The emails are coming in nonstop, but so far we're over 200.
Charney says current and former users could be awarded as much as $750 million in damages.
Many of them are very concerned about their employment, especially if they're in the public sector and they were using a public sector email.
On the leaked list of purported Ashley Madison users, email addresses belonging to the RCMP, the Canadian Forces, the Canada Revenue Agency, and others. In the U.S., the Postal Service is investigating whether employees violated federal policy by using their government email address. The military is looking into it too.
And of course it's an issue because conduct is very important and we expect good conduct on the part of our people.
In Canada, the Treasury Board oversees the public service and won't say whether it's investigating, only referring to government policy on acceptable network use. It does state that employees may surf the web or use social media on personal time. But today, a Canadian press analysis of the Ashley Madison data found 76 credit card transactions made from Department of National Defense computers, another 25 from the House of Commons.
There's a lingering naivete about the nature of the internet as still being anonymous, which is not. So I think anyone who conducts an investigation needs to dispel those myths.
The parent company says it's cooperating with the police investigation, adding, "Our customers, this company, and its employees are all exercising their legal and individual rights and all deserve the ability to do so unhindered by outside interference, vigilantism, selective moralizing, and judgment. Even so, most still hope their secret remains a secret." Thomas Dagley, CBC News, Montreal.
You finally found the most generic live show. This is the Generic Live Show with Dale Campbell.
Heartless challenge, and pick your path and I'll pray.
Thanks for joining us here on a Wednesday here on the Generic Live Show. Thanks for joining us, whether you're listening to us live or on the hard drive. This is a very, very special episode of the Generic Live Show. This is a Live from the Vault episode. We haven't done this before. We are taking stories that have impacted the show the most and kind of turning them on their head and giving them one more final run for their money as well. This is the second hour. Thank you. Welcome to the second hour of the show. The first clip you heard there in the second hour was more exclamation on the automotive industry. Second clip you heard there was about the Ashley Madison hacks. So there's that, you know, the Ashley Madison hacks. story that no one else talks about these days in 2016. The hacks that happened happened. And everyone forgot about, but Canadian government officials were using it to cook up. Awkward. Anyway, thank you for joining us live from the vault. It's good to be here in the vault, and amongst all of my archive boxes and that sort of thing. So pulling out random show notes as it continues. Two things we want to cover this hour, of course, so we might finish up a little bit early, but that's all right. I wanna talk about and I was thinking during the I was thinking of separating the two, but I'm like, that takes a lot of effort. I might separate the two. Might still separate the two between the 2 hours because I'm nice like that. Wanna talk about American politics, which of course has had a lot of airtime on and is definitely not kind of closed in any sort of way whatsoever. But I still want to give it a whirl, and I want to talk about what was I wanting to talk about? I want to talk about we had a guest on. And we were going to play some funny banter from that as well. It was Chris Lohman, by the way, friend of mine, friend of yours. He was on the Christmas special as well, if that name rings a bell. He was on episode 9 of the show, and I want to talk about guests on the show in a little bit. It's behind the scenes. It's a look back. And it's come to the show where, of course, and this is post-transformation, by the way. A lot of this stuff is post-transformation. Pre-transformation, it's a lot of throwaway stories. I'm not going to lie. Pre-transformation, it is a lot of throwaway stories. But I will say this. One thing, there are a few gems in the pre-roy story. But in 2015 and 2016, something became apparent to the world. And actually, this was 2014, but it was right at the end. I want to say, I don't know how else to say this, so I do apologize if it comes off the wrong way, but terrorism became a huge issue during the show's lifespan. Unfortunately, it does suck, but I think it's important to talk about. It's important to get opinions out on the table without yelling at each other. I mean, I am the one with the microphone in front of me, so it's kind of hard for me to say that. But as long as you're not being narcissistic about your opinions, then what it is. And I want to clarify some of my opinions because I think they've gotten lost in translation somewhere along the line. Here is me, by the way, talking about what happened in the Sydney siege and the hashtag I will ride with you coming from that. And my opinion actually has evolved on this topic. I may have it be added. But I do want to play you some clips from that. Episode 12. I did not prepare the show at all. So here is me talking about the Sydney siege and the I Will Ride With You.
I'll do more media then and I'll take questions at that time when we do have a better...
This is, by the way, former Prime Minister Tony Abbott talking about the situation.
...idea of exactly what has happened. Plainly, there are lessons to be learned and we will thoroughly examine this incident to decide what lessons can be learned. But I do want now, in the hours immediately after the conclusion of the siege, to offer these words of comfort to those caught up in it and reassurance to the Australian people.
The flickering here in the background's cameras, by the way. Yes, we're still in Australia and don't have digital cameras at this point. In any event, it was a horrible scene and I...
We bumped a topic. We're just going to save a topic that we had for this week and save it for the best of 2014 topic. By then, it'll be a bit aged, but still reflects 2014. And some of you might be going, well, this is not really geeky related. I know, but it's a horrible event that happened, and people need to be made aware of it. So that's why we're covering it here on the show. Coming back from the clip, actually, and I do apologize for the robotiness. My internet's not the best. So what exactly do we know? Well, we know up reporting 90,000 matters most. So that's what matters most. And a hashtag brought everyone together in a central place. And I'm getting a hangout message. He was very proud. He was a very proud person and very ambiguous person and a mentor to a lot of staff.
So that's a compilation of a few clips there. I'll walk you through the clips. One clip was the former Prime Minister of Australia, Tony Abbott, talking about how his reactions to the initial reactions to the siege. Clip two was my apologies, because we were still doing technology at the time. This is episode 12 of the show. We were still doing tech at that point, so it was a little bit of an off-beaten path. Clip three was me talking about the hashtag I will ride with you that this kind of brought on. Four was me talking about the manager that unfortunately lost his life for being a hero in this situation. I don't want to get too much into detail of what happened, because that's not what this show is about. I still want to keep it light and fluffy, this show, as much as possible. This show is about extending, going beyond. So let's go beyond this. And, of course, it's over one year ago now. I want to go beyond this. Australia last week released its military white paper, which has got to be somewhat related to this. Domestic terrorism, defence force spending, Australia might be paranoid. I said that last week. It copped a lot of flack for it. I don't mind if I get flack on a special edition of a show. But I will say this, but the hashtag thing, my opinion of that has evolved slightly on that front. It has evolved ever so slightly on that front, only because I think it's just. I don't know. Whoa. I can hear myself. How about we don't do that, Dale? Yay. Anyway, so I have evolved on that. After the Paris attacks, when everyone was changing their Facebook to French flags. In terms of the I will ride with you hashtag and the Paris flags, they are rather different. One is advertising the attack, and one is bringing people together. I made the case in the show there, and I made the case before, that the hashtag is kind of a distraction from what really happened, which is fine. It is what it is. If you have to bring together people without using hashtag Sydney Siege, that's fine. You do what you have to do. I understand the concept behind the hashtag. The hashtag is not actually the attack itself. It's the aftermath of the attack, which is acceptable. I understand that 100%. In terms of Paris attacks, which is what we're moving on to next, it's advertising. It's what it is. I know I copped a lot of flack for it then. I will cop a lot of flack for it now. It's advertising. It really is. And as sad as that is to me, it breaks my heart that I have to say that, but it really is advertising. The attack of Paris, which is sad to my heart. Excuse me. And I do have a bit of a clippage from that. Hope I'm getting the episode right. Otherwise, this just breaks the whole setup. Here is me talking about the Paris attacks. But not only the Paris attacks, but the Paris attacks from a different perspective.
80% of the bad.
Or not enough, depending on how you perceive the world. These are 20% of people who are causing 80% of the bad. The media coverage is 80% bad. And I'm not saying that that is factually accurate, but 20% of the people are doing bad in the sense of the religion itself. If we're going just in religion, look back to the numerous numbers of broadcasts and attacks that I've had to deal with in the past. It is sickening. It is awful. It is bad for humanity. In a time where we have to be one human race, apparently. Now, you may identify as whatever you want to be, but let's just look at human race on a basic instinct level for one goddamn second and put behind us some of the ridiculous labels or whatever we put on society. Let's strip society back to one earth. If we are one earth that wants to live in peace and harmony, which is what religion teaches us, by the way, we should endeavor to do that. We shouldn't endeavor to scream hate out from the windows, regardless of these attacks or not. It's just sad that an attack like this, the attack like Sydney Sage, and I said that back then, and I could have sworn I said this back when I covered the Boston bombings the day it happened, the Sydney Sage the day it happened, the Paris attacks the week it happened. That we all...
Yeah, Oh, and by the way, I just didn't know where my mic was on. By the way, yeah, Sydney Siege, the day it happened, by the way. So that's why things got bumped around. I will say this. On this show, I do kind of like to... pride myself on taking a different perspective of you. So that clip there was rather long, but it tells the whole story of how I like to take different perspectives. I, instead looking at terrorism itself and how it can be solved, I actually more liked of how religion can be, how people can observe basic religion principles, which means that we can, you know, kumbaya in the sunshine. But that is a, you know, humanistic approach to the world. And it's unrealistic, aware, and noted. But I think it's something that can be... It can be a kind of... Excuse me. It kind of can... You know, it's good to have that different perspective. But religion is interesting. You can apply it to a lot of things. But applying it to terror is more relevant because these people were of a faith. It's good in a sense that
people can have this free platform, this free outlet to say whatever they want. But on the other hand, there are extremist behaviors that go along with that and consequences that go along with that. So, real quickly, though, in terms of terror attacks, the Boston bombings is something I didn't cover for this show. I covered for a former show on the network down under Colorado with myself, Zay Inked, and Doug McLeod. Sorry, dude. Whoops. Boing. There you go. Anyway.
I wouldn't make it a habit calling me that, son.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly. Anyway, I will say that. San Bernardino was different because it was happening at the time, and it was on U.S. soil, breaking air. That happened while it was breaking. On that, I have the same sort of perspective because religious people again. Hallelujah. And I'm all out of water. Thanks for joining us here on Live from the Vault. We take you behind the scenes and extrapolate some of our more lengthy discussions here on the show. How about American politics? How about that there, American politics? That's coming up. We're going to actually do something that I didn't think would do. It's only, you know, relevant at this week. It's kind of only the only other news that has happened this week. So we'll take you behind the scenes on what happened in American politics in the race for the White House. That has dominated our airwaves. But right now, some more random moments. We're going to be hearing from Chris Lohman and myself right now here on the Generic Live Show, live from the vault. It's 11:21. That does not exist in my files. Why does that not exist in my files? Oh, moo cow. Why does that not exist in my files? Oops. Hey, how about we play some Boxing Day goodness? Let's play some Boxing Day goodness. Here we go.
And this, a sponsored link, tough break, like a tough break, unemployed surfer beat up by children. And this. People need to stop calling me that. Okay, that's not like that. Meanwhile, Facebook will pepper in awesome things happening to you, luckiest girl on the planet. Okay.
That was the wrong clip. Dale, get your stuff together. But that's an interesting clip. By the way, that is an interesting clip there because that was talking about how the breakup feature in Facebook has to become a thing, but that's not what I was thinking of. Let's play clip of the week. Let's pull the archive, that tape out of the archive box. Let's put that in. Here we go.
It's like four episodes of a specific Pokemon.
They're four Pokemon, like... Pokemon's are. I keep saying that. Why do I keep saying that?
I have no idea. I'm too busy enjoying this ridiculously good music.
Pokemon's are here on a Saturday here on the Generic Live Show with Dale Campbell, Chris Lohman, friend of yours. Unless you want to be their friend first.
Yeah.
Merry Christmas, everyone. Happy Kwanzaa. I keep saying that. Why do I keep saying that?
I have no idea. I'm too busy enjoying this ridiculously good music.
Thank you to Rush Coyle for providing music for the show today. I should have mentioned that at the beginning, but didn't. So thank you. And their 8-bit Christmas album is amazing.
I wish I'd known about it at Christmas.
We have a live studio audience. We want to hear from the live studio audience again. It's great when we cross to these guys. How did a bird get in here?
I have no idea.
Yeah,
it's strange. Although it's trapped in the fan.
Oh, no. Obviously, the crowd loved Burger getting trapped in the fan. That's really,
clearly not American.
It's really a shame. So, Christmas is a time for gift giving.
And it's definitely a time for gift receiving.
Yeah, sometimes. Well, I only say that, and I'm only laughing because we know a mutual friend that doesn't like help giving and giving in gifts. You forgot about that, didn't you?
Oh.
Anyway, they won't hear this, but anyway, I like that. Love you, man. Don't take it to heart, but seriously.
Oh, wow.
Anyway, yes, it is definitely a time for receiving gifts. But what? You know, what if you don't want those gifts? What do you do apart from burn them?
That's difficult.
Have you had a gift that you not wanted before?
I don't know. Someone bought me something this year.
Jesus. I know where this is going to.
It's a full pack of Pokemon DVDs.
Uh-huh. Go on. I might know the person who...
Well, I think you might.
Yeah.
It's a bargain bin full pack of Pokemon DVDs, each of which, like, four episodes of a specific Pokemon.
They're four Pokemon spin-off series DVDs. We're not doing a live giveaway on the show, are we?
I have it right here.
All right.
I didn't know Boba Fett was that popular.
Can I spoil that for you?
Yes.
He's not. I hate to spoil it for you. But, no, I think, yeah.
Thanks for joining us here on a Wednesday with Dale Campbell. Hey, that was me and Chris Lohman, friend of yours, friend of ours, doing, because the one I is apparently not in my archives. It's actually on the website, guys. Don't freak out too much, I think. Oops, unless that episode doesn't exist anymore. But anyway, there you go. Thanks for joining us here on a Wednesday. That was amazing. Yes. Chris obviously did not appreciate the four pack. Yeah, I'll note that down for next time. As we're wrapping up here on the Generic Live Show, I actually had one item in my run sheet for this today. This is why I'm sitting here going, and this happens. It's news. It happens. You cannot physically fill 2 hours worth of space of show. It happens. It's news. There's nothing going on. But I want to cross live to the race for the election. For the run of the White House. It was Super Tuesday over the US. Super Tuesday means that 12 states, I want to say, 12 states, hang on, where we go, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 states. So tell me, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Yeah. 11 states. Ah, yeah, 11. 11 states, by the way. There you go. 11 states voted yesterday in the USA. Here's a breakdown state by state on who won where. So let's get to Alaska first. Where most states are reporting 100% at this point. Donald J. Trump won Alabama, won 43-21. Went to Ted Cruz, Marco Rubio with 19, Ben Carson with 10, Kasich with 4. So that's the breakdown there. Republicans in Alaska, Ted Cruz, 36, Donald Trump, 34, Marco Rubio, 15, Carson, 11, Kasich, 4, reporting 100. Arkansas, Donald Trump, 33, Ted Cruz, 31, Marco Rubio, 25, Ben Carson, 6, Kasich, 4, reporting 96%. Georgia, Donald Trump, 39, Marco Rubio, 25, Ted Cruz, 24, Kasich, Carson, 6, reporting 99. Massachusetts, Donald Trump, 49, Rubio, Kasich, 18, Cruz, 10, Carson, 3, reporting 97. Minnesota, Marco Rubio, 37, Ted Cruz, 29, Donald Trump, 21, Carson, 7, Kasich, 6, reporting 92. Oklahoma, Ted Cruz, 34, Donald Trump, 28, Marco Rubio, 26, Carson, 6, Kasich, 4. Tennessee, Donald Trump, 39, Cruz, 25, Rubio, 21, Kasich, 5. I'm sorry, Carson, 8, Kasich, 5. Texas, Ted Cruz, 44, Trump, 27, Rubio, 18, Kasich, Carson, 4. 99 for both Tennessee, Texas, Oklahoma, 100. VT, that would be Vermont. Donald Trump, 33, Kasich, 30. Marco Rubio, 19, Cruz, 10, Carson, 4. And there we go with Virginia. Trump, 35, Rubio, 32, Cruz, 17, Kasich, 9, Carson, 6. There you go. This means Trump's winning. It goes in terms of delegates on March 2nd, Trump, Cruz, Rubio, Kasich, and Carson. There you go. Other side of the aisle is, of course, less, but anyway. Alabama, Clinton, 78, Sanders, 19. Arkansas, Clinton, 66, Sanders, 30. Colorado, Sanders, 59, Clinton, 40. Georgia, Clinton, 71, Sanders, 28. Massachusetts, Clinton, 50, Sanders, 49. So with 97 reporting. Minnesota, 62, Sanders, 38, Clinton, 86%. Oklahoma, Sanders, 52, Clinton, 42. Tennessee, Clinton, 66, Sanders, 32. Texas, Clinton, 65, Sanders, 33. Vermont, Sanders, 86, Clinton, 14. And Virginia, Clinton, 64, Sanders, 35. And of course, Clinton, Sanders in that order. So there you go. Now you know. And there has been a mishap of who won where. So here you go. Here's the breakdown. Here's the breakdown of everyone. So here's who's won things and who hasn't so far in terms of the American race. So it will remember live from the vault. So here you go. In Iowa, Cruz, Trump, Rubio, Carson, Kasich. In New Hampshire, it went Trump, Kasich, Cruz, and Rubio. Carson didn't pick up any results. This is Republican, by the way. South Carolina, Republican results. Trump won all. So 150. Nevada, Republican results. Trump, Rubio, Cruz, Carson, Kasich. And this is delegate count. Super Tuesday, in terms of Super Tuesday. Here we go. Trump 28, Cruz 2. In Alaska, Cruz, Trump, Rubio. Arkansas, you got Trump, Rubio, Cruz. Colorado was not Republican. Georgia, you got Trump, Cruz, Rubio. Massachusetts, you got Trump, Rubio, Kasich, Ty, Cruz. Minnesota, you got Rubio, Cruz, Ty, Trump. Oklahoma, Cruz, Trump, Rubio. Tennessee, Trump, Cruz, Rubio. Texas, Rubio, 57. Texas, second place. Was Trump. Vermont, Kasich, Trump, 6-part. Virginia, you went Trump, Rubio, Cruz, Kasich, Carson. Who's giving it to? Who's giving it to? Who's giving it to Kasich and Kasich and Carson at this point? Seriously. But anyway, thank you everyone for joining us here on a Wednesday. That's American politics. We are cutting it a bit short. Actually, I will not split this episode. I will not split this episode because it's only an hour and a half. And if you can't deal with me for an hour and a half, there's something wrong. This was fun to kind of unpackage some of the big topics and talk about them more freely. Live from the vault. We will be back next week. We'll be back with a regular show. Savannah Sang did our artwork. I want to mention that. Don't get to mention that enough. TheChefWonder@gmail.com, GLS in the subject outline. Don't get to mention that a lot because we're normally broadcasting out to the world. Well, we still are, but anyway. I want to mention that. YouTube.com/genericliveshow. Be here for that. Want to mention that. Thank you very much for joining us live from the vault. We are finishing a bit earlier. 20 minutes early. Yeah, we're having an early mark. But thank you everyone for joining us. It is a special episode, so it's live from the vault. That American politics is certainly not, the door has not closed on that, but Trump won big. So did Cruz and Rubio picked up a state. Yay, there's that. Don't really know how to end this thing, but I'm just going to end it. Thank you, everyone, for joining us here on the show. It's been fun giving you a behind-the-scenes tour for the last hour and 40 minutes. It's been a pleasure. Have a good week, guys. I'll see you next week. Bye for now.
This has been a Chef Wonder Media production. For more, visit chefwondermedia.net. Delivered fresh to your ear holes. Copyright 2016.
This podcast is a part of the Geek.io Media Network. Copyright 2016.